Hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net. I think it's number 312. I keep forgetting to check that before the net. Gotta make that a habit. For the 18th of December, 2023. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. If you're not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system that you can learn more about by directing your web browser to sdf.org. I will pause now for priority traffic or to allow stations to disconnect from the conference if they don't want to stick around for the net. Right. I do that every week, but I don't think anybody has ever taken that opportunity to disconnect. But anyway, it's a safety valve. All right. I am Alpha Bravo 9, Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne. I'm located in Urbana, Illinois, and my SDF username is JWH. This net meets every Monday at 0 hour Zulu or GMT, whatever you want to call it, on the Echolink node 9229, known as the TechLink conference. And we would like to thank Michael, VE6UX, for letting us use this conference for our net. This is a directed net, so that means that if you have something to say, give your call sign and wait for the net control to acknowledge you and give you the floor. Our net is open to all licensed radio amateurs. You don't have to be a member of the SDF Amateur Radio Club. Although, parenthetically, I don't think we actually have a membership list. But anyway, you know what I mean. We'd like to have a question of the week to kickstart our discussion. And this week's question, well, recently I had a conversation with an SDFer, Handy C to be specific, as you may recognize, who is an American citizen who has been living and working in the Netherlands for several years and will probably stay there for the indefinite future. And he's expressed some interest in getting an amateur radio license. And so we were talking about the various approaches that he could take. Let me reset the timer here. Okay. He could go through the Netherlands procedure for getting a Dutch ham license, or he could go through the American procedure for getting an American ham license. And as far as I know, at least in the Netherlands, I'm pretty sure that they have a reciprocity agreement with the United States, so that he could operate in the Netherlands with an American ham license. He would have to, you know, your call sign gets kind of muddy when you do that, you know. Like if I was there, I don't even know what the suffix or prefix is for the Netherlands. But anyway, I might have to say something like I'm AB9FJ slash something something to indicate operating in a foreign country. So anyway, the question this week is, do you have any experience with operating in a different country? You might have, I know that there are people who are outside the United States who have gotten American ham licenses. Simply because they're cheaper or easier to get or whatever. Or maybe you've gotten an American ham license and you've traveled as a tourist around the world, perhaps, and operated on, you know, with an HT or something in a foreign country. So anyway, the topic is ham license portability across international borders. I hope that works. I see that VE6UX has joined us. Hi, Michael. In fact, let me run down the list. I have PY2BIL, KD9NDJ, KQ4MII, and there was KE2CEL, maybe she'll be back, and as I said, DE6UX. So all of you are on my list, and I'm ready to call on, let's see, who's the first on the list here? Well, KE2 is not here, PY2BIL.
Hi everyone, this is PY2BIL Guillermo out of São Paulo in Brazil. My SDF username is G. Camari. So, yeah, interesting topic today, Wayne. I actually have my own experience with that. I got my original ticket down in Argentina, where I was born. That's Lima Uniform 7 Echo Charlie X-Ray, the ticket that I still have. And I lived some time in the U.S., but I was not involved with amateur radio at that time. I was in school and building family and all that. But then I moved to Brazil and I got back into radio. and I had to decide what do I do, right? So I looked around and I learned a few things. So if you are resident in the country, like the colleague over there in the Netherlands, most probably you have to have a local ticket, right, or license, because you are a permanent resident of that country. So you have to go through the process of getting that, right? So this is what I did. I had a sort of, I was told, I didn't pursue it, opportunity to try to leverage my Argentinian license in Brazil because of the reciprocity agreements, right, that considered that I may have some benefits there. I just skipped that part and I got it from scratch. Let me stop for a second. Okay, I'm back. So I got my Brazilian license from scratch, and reciprocity agreements work if you're a tourist or just passing through a certain country, right? So if I go to, let's say, the US, I can use my Brazilian or Argentinian, in this case, license, doesn't matter, right? I have to get some sort of an international permit for the Americas that exists, for that matter, right? Now, if I go to some of the European countries, I may not do that, right? So that's getting a little bit more complicated if I want to do that, right? I assume that many individuals get the American license because it's easy to get if you are living abroad, I guess. I never tried that. But it also gives the opportunity to use that license when you're traveling around the world, because most probably the Americans have more reciprocity agreements than, let's say, the Netherlands, right? So our friend over there in the Netherlands may try to do both, right? He needs to check local regulations. He needs to get his Dutch license because he's living there permanently. Okay, so that's my reading of this. So back to you, NetControl. This is PY2BAL.
Okay, thank you, Guillermo. And yeah, that was an interesting point you made at the end there, but just as you said that, Michael, the E6UX, commented in the chat there that if you are not a U.S. citizen, a U.S. call sign will only be valid in the United States. So, all right, that's news to me. I wasn't aware that that was a fact, but I wonder how that would be enforced. So, let's see, who's next on my list here? KD9NDJ.
Good evening, Wayne, and everybody on the net. I'm not sure you're hearing me, because it looks like Windows can go well for me. Let me double-check that.
Sorry, Ken, your audio was so low I could not make out anything that you said. I think what I'll do is I'll let you fiddle with this, and I'll move along to next on my list here is KQ4MII.
Thank you, Wayne. This is Kilo Quebec 4, Mike, India, India. My name is Mark. I am in very rainy Reston, Virginia, about half an hour west of Washington, D.C., and my SDF login is M. McCormick. So being a fairly new ham, really only licensed for about a month and a half now, I haven't had the opportunity to operate overseas, so I have no particular experience to offer there, but I understand that there are these agreements between the U.S. and Canada and the U.S. and the European countries and certain others for reciprocity, which will definitely come in handy if I ever feel like rag chewing in another country. For now, I'm just working on getting my chops here in the U.S. I'm actually signed up to take the general exam in January, so I am looking forward to that and studying all I can and hoping I can be an AG fairly soon. So that's all I've got for now. Back to Net from KQ4MII.
Okay, Mike, Mark, thanks for checking in, and good luck on your study and your taking the test. Let's see, next on my list is VE6UX.
Hey, B9FJ, VE6UX. Yeah, the reciprocity agreements with other countries do not allow a non-U.S. citizen holding a U.S. amateur radio license to operate, and that's part of FCC rules, and you can look it up in the amateur radio service. I think it's about, it's in Section 97, I think it's about 100 to 110, somewhere in that area. I held a U.S. general license for years, and when you're operating in the United States as a non-U.S. citizen, holding a U.S. license, it doesn't matter if you hold other licenses, you must use your U.S. call. These are weird things about U.S. amateur radio license. Anybody can hold one, but you can't operate outside the United States, VE6UX.
Okay, but if you're operating outside the United States, the FCC does not really have jurisdiction over you. It would have to be the country that you were operating in who would come and say, don't do that, right?
Well, that's the reciprocity rules. I can operate in most countries with my Canadian call sign, except for places like Mexico. There's no reciprocity in Mexico. And there's a few countries that have no reciprocity with Canada and the United States besides that. What you're dealing with is, say you go into the Netherlands or Germany and you have a U.S. call as a non-U.S. citizen, there is no reciprocity with you in that country. So you're illegally operating in that country. So that country can nail you.
Right. But as a practical matter, how they would know that you are not a U.S. citizen. Anyway, I'm not saying that people should go out and break the regulations. I'm just kind of curious how that actually plays out in real life. Anyway, let's move along here. Let's go back and see if KD9NDJ is sounding better. Oops, I didn't notice that he had dropped off of the dashboard here, so maybe he's gone offline to work on his audio. We'll watch for him to come back. So that means that I've given everyone a chance to speak. Does anyone want to have a recheck? Right, this looks like it's going to be a record-setting short net unless we can think of something to talk about. Am I going out on a non-radio there? Let's see if they can hear me over here. Testing. Nope, I'm not going out on a non-radio, so something is broken with the robot over there. Let's see. I think Ken is back. Ken, give it another try.
Yo, good evening, Wayne. This is KD9NDJ. You picking me up now?
Oh, yes. Much, much better. Okay, I think you keyed up briefly, but I didn't hear you say anything.
Oh, okay. There we go. Wow. Windows, crazy. Yeah, I have this problem with Windows. Every time I restart this particular software, it does not like my audio device. And it has to be reselected. So, incredibly irritating. I've tried other methods. As you know, you've heard all my methods on this net. This net is a great net for experimenting. I have absolutely no experience with international licensing. So I'm an Ami, and I got my license as an American, so I don't really have anything to add to that topic. Anyway, let's see if you're hearing me. This is KD9NDJ.
Okay, I would say that there's room for raising your audio level a bit. It was kind of low there, but I was able to copy you 100%, just listening carefully. So, let's see, no new call signs on the dashboard. Does anyone else want to add to what they said before? Okay. I was going to put this in the email that I send out after the net, but I've always suggested that if you have a topic in mind for a future net, you can always email me, or you can email to the mailing list, or you can come in here, get into Echolink early, and so that you can say put something in the chat. So on those weeks when I don't have a topic in mind, you can get in there and suggest one at the last minute. So there's that. Now, lately I've been dragging my feet on closing the net in hopes of letting it run at least 30 minutes to give a chance for the Australian hams to join us. And I don't know, we're at only 18 minutes here. I don't think I can twiddle my thumbs for 12 minutes. Unless somebody has something they would like to talk about. So let me open the floor to anyone with anything to talk about.
PY2BIL, Recheck.
Go ahead, Guillermo.
Thanks, Wayne. This is PY2BIL trying to fill in the 12 minutes. And I came across, I'm just trying to find it, across a piece of software that uses artificial intelligence to reduce noise, signal noise. So you basically connect your receiver to that piece of software, which then processes that on a server and sends back a clean audio. So I was wondering if anybody on this net had an experience with that, or any other, for that matter, artificial intelligence enhanced amateur radio experience. I just to think I coined a new term there. So back to you, Wayne. This is PY2BIL.
Ah, that's an interesting question. You know, I think I have heard about artificial intelligence being used as kind of what do they call it? Enhancement of analog signals like audio or video. I don't have any experience or knowledge about it being used in particular for ham radio, but it does seem like an obvious use case. The mechanics of capturing some audio off the air and then uploading it to a server and then waiting for it to do its enhancement thing and then hearing the result and then being able to reply over the air in a timely fashion, that would be an interesting problem. I see that BK2DY has joined us. Yay! I'll see if anyone else here would like to comment on that topic, but let me welcome Robert. Our topic this week, we've been talking about, international, you know, using your ham radio across international borders, in particular either using your own call sign in a foreign country or getting licensed in a foreign country to operate while you're there, that kind of thing. So that's what we've been talking about. So I'm gonna pass it over to I probably should let him think about that for a minute. Let's see if anyone else would like to add to what Guillermo said. Okay, nothing heard there. So I guess Robert BK2DY, it's your turn.
Yes. Good morning. 11:22 a.m. This is Robert BK2DY in northwestern Sydney. 26 degrees Celsius and overcast at the moment. It's supposed to get up to 33 today, which is perfectly reasonable for this time of summer here. So I guess we're getting some reasonable weather. Unfortunately, Christmas Day looks like cloudy and 21 Celsius, which was going to ruin a lot of people's plans since most people do outdoor activities on Christmas Day. But anyway, it is what it is. The weather will do what it will do. As far as the question goes, I currently hold two licenses, a U.S. one and an Australian one. I guess if I go to the U.S., I'm supposed to use the U.S. one. Anywhere else, it's sort of a choice of, Australia, I have to use the Australian one, but anywhere else, it's a choice of whichever one is more acceptable in that country, or whichever one I choose, if they're both equally acceptable. A lot of places, like New Zealand, will allow you to operate temporarily with your own call sign and just put a slash a ZL on it. I think the UK will do that. A lot of countries will allow you to operate temporarily. So if you're just visiting a country, it's not a problem. Here in Australia, used to be, in the old days, you could, if you moved to Australia from overseas, you could use that overseas qualification as a Actually, it still is that. You use that overseas qualification to get an Australian license. So in lieu of a certificate of proficiency, that's what they're still called, you could use the foreign license as in lieu of that. That's sort of changed and changed back, and I think in the new system that's going on, it is the case again. It isn't currently the case, but it is the case again. Now, the question is, if you're an Australian citizen and you move back to Australia, does it count? And I think it does now. It didn't. It will count. It doesn't now. A lot of things in flux here. They reset for a second. Yeah, I should explain why things are in flux. On the 19th of February, we go from being an apparatus license to a class-based license. And all of the rules, a lot of the rules are changing based on the fact that it's now just a class license. Things have loosened up a good deal on some of the rules and regulations. And I think they're still writing some and they're still doing things. But being a class license, the ACMA has much more control over what is in there and how easy to modify it. So it is what it is. And speaking of that, we're also, instead of certificates of proficiency, since it's just a class license, it now goes to a recognition certificate. A new name because it's not an apparatus license anymore. So that's what you get when you test. But the plus side is the exams are free, and the cost to get licensed is minimal, I think, probably in the $50 range for most people to start out. So it's all becoming quite reasonable. A lot of change over on the 19th of February, I've just been requalified as an examiner with the ACMA, so I'm trying to pick all these things up now, too. Anyway, we'll carry on too much with that. VK2DY, back to Nick.
Okay, well, I'm just wondering here. Are you originally a citizen of the United States or of Canada, and then you immigrated to Australia, and have you become a citizen of Australia? And did you have to give up your previous citizenship, or do you have dual?
VK2DY used to be, back in the bad old days, they forced you to give up citizenships, but that hasn't been the case in probably 30, 40 years or more. It's been quite a long time. I think 92 was the year that it officially changed. But I'm not sure. Maybe older than that. My first citizenship was the U.S., I acquired naturalized in Australia in 2002. So I have dual citizenship. I carry two passports. It's all good. VK2DY.
Okay, because, you know, Michael mentioned that if you have an American license, but you're not an American citizen, you can only operate under that license in the United States. You're not supposed to do that in other countries. So, but in your case, I guess, because you are an American citizen, you can use your American call sign any place that allows American call signs, period. All right. So, does anyone else have any additional comments to make? Okay, well, we're past the 28-minute mark. I think that's close enough to the 30 minutes that I was hoping to drag my feet for. We got Robert there, VK2DY. We don't see VK3HJQ. And, gosh, I don't know what's up with Reg. I guess he's still enjoying life in Indonesia. We'll look for him in the future. So, at this point, let me make one final call for rechecks before I close the net. Okay. This concludes this week's SDF Amateur Radio Club at, let's call it, 0029 UTC. If you would like to continue the conversation, well, I noticed that we have the NB0X-L gateway thing present here, but we did not hear anybody trying to come in from DMR or All-Star. I don't know if the 31650 talk group is still a thing. But I know that COM is still a thing on SDF, so if you do want to continue the conversation, you can join us there. This is Net Control Station AB9FJ saying 73.